two, one. All right, here we go. And now for a very special Christmas edition of the Star Wars Report podcast.
Christmas time is here, and Christmas songs you love to hear. Thoughts of joy and hope and cheer, but mostly shopping.
Christmas time is here, the sleigh bells and the red-nosed deer. Songs we love to hear, all played 1,000 times each year.
Heard this same song 20 times, and it's only Halloween. It's not even cold.
Hey everybody, it's about that time of year. Although I'll tell you what, I'm feeling awfully relieved.
Shopping.
Because all my shopping's done. Hey guys, welcome back to the Star Wars Report podcast. You know, it is that time of year. It's the time of festivities and Christmas, and I'm so glad that you've decided to tune in to this episode of the Star Wars Report podcast. I'm your host for this evening, founder of the Star Wars Report, and host of the Star Wars Report podcast. And joining me, as always, my co-founder, my co-host, my co-hounder, and my co-host.
Co-founder.
Frasha, I speak. What is it that Jar Jar says?
The ability to speak does not make one intelligent.
It's so true. Mark, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. You know, it is actually snowing where I am at. I mean, you know, we get snow, but usually it's in the mountains. It actually is in my front yard. I have a snow fort in my front yard, and it's still there. You know, it snowed like 3 or 4 days ago. It's melting everywhere, but it is so cold. It does not want to melt unless it's in the direct sunlight. And I am surrounded by big redwood trees, these giant mammoth trees that keep my whole street in the shade. It's like a winter wonderland.
Wait.
I went out last night and set up all my AT-ATs and stuff and was taking pictures.
I'm sorry, Mark.
My roommates come up and I'm like laying in the snow and they're like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm playing. Go leave me alone. Pay no attention to the man in the yard. And I come in, I'm just sopping wet and I'm like, well worth it. I got about
totally
25 pictures of just little Han and a Tauntaun running in front of an ATT. Like, yes.
Are these on Facebook? Please tell me.
I posted one each on a couple of the pages. Most of them are still on my phone because I'm like, they're just slightly variations of the same shot. Like, I was like, okay, and if I flip the camera this way, how does it look? And okay, over here.
Wait, so are these like on your personal page or what? All right, I got
One of each. It's on our Star Wars Report Facebook page. There's one on Beyond the Films page.
Wait, I saw this.
I shared a different picture on each one.
So what you're saying is that you shared one of these spectacular photos of your winter fun festivities on Facebook.com/Star Wars Report, right?
Yes, as well as the Wear Star Wars, Share Star Wars of me and Jaina today with her Be Afraid.
I did. Oh, that's adorable. I'm looking at it now. Again, yeah, guys, if you're listening to this, head over to Facebook.com/Star Wars Report. Look at you, Mark, being all up on the social media stuff. I love it.
I know. This phone, I'm draining my battery faster than ever, but hey, I'm in touch. I've got my finger on the pulse.
It's worth the social internet. Yeah, I'm looking right now. So that's real. Okay, so here's the thing, Mark, is that I saw you post the AT-AT, and I saw the caption, and you said the caption, quote, it's the what model of AT-AT is that? It's like, it looks like a Hasbro.
It's about 6 inches tall and about 4 inches wide. It's a bigger one. I got it at a little pawn shop for $1.50.
Oh, nice. Okay, so it's not like a Hasbro one, but basically like what you've got it set up, and it's stepping upon a poor snow speeder, a la just like the Empire Strikes Back. And I saw it, I thought, oh, Mark must have found this really cool picture somewhere, and then he came up with a really clever caption, quote, some days you're the Death Star, other days you're Dak. It's so true.
Well, I was trying to get the foot right because I also have I have a Micro Machine AT-AT as well. So like, there's a couple shots, and I'll have to share them later, where I've got the other one in the background because the size is so different. I was like, okay, now if I have that one off in the back, like maybe it'll look like another one's coming up around the mountain or something. My roommate's like, what are you doing? You know, and I was telling him that, and he's like, oh, that'd work. It's like all of a sudden he got all serious, like, oh yeah, that you could totally pull that off.
Nice.
I'm like, all right, thanks for the vote of confidence.
If you look at it, you have to look at it closely and you realize, wait, that's real snow. That's awesome.
Well, and I got some really cool ones that I haven't shared at all of the snow speeder that I crashed into the snow and I made this long gouge. And then I got really close to it and the snow's all sparkling and stuff. Oh, it looks really cool. I was like, yeah, this turned out a lot better than I was expecting. Why wasn't I doing this the last 3 days when all the snow, I mean, there was a lot more snow the other day. I mean, now it's all getting packed and stuff, but oh, it's been fun. But there's been a lot of really cool things like that. Like my kids' Boys and Girls Club, they have a Christmas tree up when you first walk in. And I'm walking in and there's all these like red and blue around the bottom of it. Like this weird like electric fence. And I'm like, what is that? And I'm looking at it closely. They're lightsabers. They're little, like the dollar store generic junker ones, for all intents and purposes, red and blue lightsabers.
Wait, like
have,
the, these are the off-brand, like, laser swords.
Yeah, exactly. They're zip-tied together X's, like they're crossing, and they go all the way around the bottom of the tree. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, that's Star Wars. And my daughter's like, keep looking, Dad. And I'm looking, I'm like, oh, my God, the tree skirt, Star Wars. And it's like, you know, a regular tree skirt, and it's got little patches in the corner where it's little diamonds, and it's got black with Han and Luke and 3PO and stuff, and then it have a big gold panel. So it's like, it was very discreet. Like, I didn't even realize it was Star Wars at first. And then I'm looking more at the tree, and I'm like, little Lego dudes are hanging on little handmade ornaments. And I'm like, wow, somebody really went out. Then they had these clear globe ones, and it'd say Endor on it. And on the inside, they had a little Lego setup of Endor, and then they had another one of Alderaan, and it was all just broken up Legos. I started laughing. I got these pictures too. I'll share them, man. They're great. They're great. There was a whole bunch. I was just like, oh, I must have spent 5-10 minutes just snapping random pictures of this tree, getting all these up close of the ornaments. And this is what I do every Sithmas. Yes, I say Sithmas because that's how I get down. But my Christmas tree, same thing. I have the Hallmark ornaments and stuff. So I've got the I've got Tantive IV when it's being captured by the Star Destroyer. I have that. It all lights up. It actually talks, but the talking part is kind of warped now on both it and the second Death Star. I have a second Death Star where it's got Palpatine going, as you see. He does that whole, I've got a big plan. You know, I can't quote it right now because I'm too excited about that other tree. But and I've got a Luke and a Vader that they're separate, but when you pose them next to each other, they actually cross blades. And, of course, that's exactly what I do. And a couple little Micro Machine style ornaments that I got a 5-pack of that I always strategically place them throughout the tree. And I love the Millennium Falcon one because it's got like this whole blast fire burst coming out from behind it. But yeah, I mean, it's you know, for me, it's all about decorating the tree and getting the tree with my Star Wars element. My wife was like, so are we going to put up your Star Wars stuff this year? Are we going to not do it? And I'm like,
we're
definitely going to do one or two.
This begs the question though, Mark. So how, in terms of how festive you and your family get for the holidays, how geeky are you allowed to get? Like, are there limits? Can like for instance, in this household, I have a handful of Star Wars ornaments, and I'm like, I can't really even. I think I have like a Star Wars snow globe buried somewhere. I don't have a lot of Christmassy stuff, but I do by golly put them on the family Christmas tree. But they're kind of buried on the tree, and you'd have to look to see them. Like I can tell you this right now. There ain't gonna be no Darth Vader tree topper. On the house for me, but
if I can get the Wookiee stocking, I told my wife I wanted it. I was like, oh, I gotta have that. I mean, my wife lets me get away with a lot. Right now, we've got roommates; we share the living room, so I've toned it down. The tree's really the only thing that's got. I've got a little, I believe it's R2, and he's kind of dressed up as a reindeer, and 3PO's got the toys, or vice versa, something like that. They did a Yoda one, and they did the one with 3PO and R2, and I have the R2 and 3PO one. And I used to always put that up on the mantle and stuff, and put other stuff up, and the ATs and stuff, and usually have a Hoth diorama set that I do where I make it look like it's snow and stuff. But right now, I've got that toned down. And my mom's house, you know, when we go up there and do our Christmas stuff on the 24th, and then my family, we do stuff on the 25th. And when I go up there, you know, like, I you know, one of those things where I hate to say it, but my parents just don't get me in that regard. It's like, I could give them a list of like, these are the Star Wars things that I would love to have that I'm just not going to be able to get this year. And if you could get any one of these things off this list, that'd be great. And of course they always go, well, you gave us the list and we didn't want to, you know, get you something that someone else got you. It's like, you were the only one that had a list. No one else was going to buy anything on that list. You were the only ones that had that list. Yes, there's 28 items on that list. 28 cheap items, less than $20. You could have got me anything. What did you get me? You got me this thing that fell apart, which, you know, yeah, I asked for it. It was a skateboard. It fell apart. It was a lame skateboard. Yeah, my parents have never understood that side of me. Like,
yeah.
That's one of those sides where I feel where people say they've got to keep their fandom in the closet.
Sure.
Because my dad was always okay with it, but my dad was like the closet Tolkien, the closet, you know, Star Trek fan, although his Star Trek came out, and then my mom was like, put that back in the closet. And so, you know, it's kind of like, well, you can get into this stuff, but don't get to the point where your mom and your sister think you're obsessed, because then you're going to hear, like, you maybe need to tone it down a bit. You're getting a little crazy. But my wife's been very understanding. Like, she don't care. She knows that, you know, I'm not going to go nuts and put us into the broke house over it. But, you know, she knows also that, you know, we can name our kids after Star Wars characters, and most people aren't going to even notice, and we still have fun with it, you know? So,
yeah.
You know, we do our own aspect of things. But, man, for the first time, having the snow on the ground is really just, you know, set the mood. You know, I feel bad for places where they get no snow ever. I mean, where I'm at, it's in the mountains. You can see it. You get like a Christmassy vibe, and it may dust the floor, but it never. I mean, when it snowed. They said, you know, it's going to be up to 6 inches, and it was like almost 8. It was like, whoa, yes, they finally got it right. And then, of course, it was so cold that it stayed. And so, you know, that alone just amped up my Christmas vibe, you know, and then having all the Star Wars aspect of it. It's like, man, there is a part of me that wants to go nuts. And that's why I told my wife when she's pulling the stuff out, you know, I'm like, well, I don't go overboard with the tree this year. Because normally the last few years, my tree has been just completely everything on it is Star Wars or a birth ornament or something like that. Because like my kids each get a birth ornament. And then usually we try to buy them a new ornament each year.
Oh, really? Like you with the price. Hallmark or what? Because with that? Well, I was just, so if you have the yearly ornament, my grandmother got us those for years. I think until you turn 18, all of our siblings would do something like that.
Yeah, and it gets tough. I mean, you know, I'm still carrying some that I had from when I was a kid, and like a part of me wants to throw them away, and then there's the other part of me that's all sentimental, and then I'm just like, and my wife said, well, you've had them for a long time, go and keep them. So, you know, I'm constantly like re-evolving how I pack things, so some things get tossed out. Like if there's an ornament that's all about ready to fall apart, I'm like, okay, it's gone. We got to get rid of it now. You know, because an ornament will stay around, man. But if it's a Star Wars ornament, I'm like, okay, can it not hang on the tree anymore? All right, then it's going on the shelf. You know, I mean, I can't throw away something Star Wars that still could sit on my shelf and I can look at it because it's cool like that. I mean, X-Wings are awesome. I don't care if it can hang on the tree. I'll put it on my desk and play with it. I mean, stare at it.
You'll play with it. We all know.
Right.
Well, it's funny because there's...
That's exactly it.
And Star Wars seems to be so tied into Christmas in so many ways. In fact, I want to plug a project that I launched just 2 days ago since we last recorded, which, by the way, we had to skip last week, and we're recording kind of on an off day because this will be this coming week and weekend when we usually record. I will be traveling, so I won't be able to get the recording. So kind of last minute this morning, I texted Mark and it's like, can we do a show this evening? And so here we are, and I'm glad we did it. But yeah, Star Wars is tied closely to Christmas, and this project I just launched since the last time we recorded is the Star Wars Report Christmas in the Stars project. It's on StarWarsReport.com, a daily blog post, guest blog post from good friends of us here at the show. And it's basically just someone writing a fairly short, not too long, not a novella, but a nice, charming, and usually cheery Christmas story that is tied in with Star Wars. So, for instance, we have our first two up right now, and the most recent one was actually posted today, this morning, and that was Christmas in the Stars, a Her Universe Surprise. And that's a guest post by Savannah Kiefer from Pandas, Lightsabers, and Cameras. Pandas, Lightsabers, and Cameras.
Follow her, because she has got some of the coolest cosplay photos ever.
Holy crap.
And has the luxury of being right next to or even part of one of the best 501st garrisons in the country. That Florida garrison makes some sick armor.
Oh, it's, and I mean, but by the way, just a side note, really fantastic sight, and I love the photographer work, work. I promise I can speak, ladies and gentlemen. But yeah, no, I love the work she does, and I was super thrilled that she was able to do it. And then our very first post was yesterday, as we record this, went up by Mr. Mark Newbold, as I posted one of the oldest Star Wars friends, or at least like online Star Wars friends we've had. He's been a friend of the show going back to the Bothan Report days. Remember that?
I do.
So yeah, Mark Newbold, he had a post called A Grandmother's Gift. And so we're basically just doing these up every day. You can go to StarWarsReport.com, and you can go to just click /blog, or just click on the blog link right there at the site, and you'll be able to find all of these daily posts. We got some great stuff. Brian Young from Big Shiny Robot has one coming up. And while Aaron Goins, some staff writers, some friends of the show, Trisha Bars, doing it, Teresa Delgado. So we've got a bunch coming up. My goal is I think we'll have 12 by the end of it, leading into 12 all the way up to Christmas Eve. We'll have our 12. So I'm hope my here's the ideal, and here's what I'm kind of hoping, is that on Christmas Eve we'll be able to have 12, and I can compile them into like a really well formatted PDF or .mobi ebook. That I can then, that you know, just a downloadable free one that I can shoot out to listeners and make available to download. Probably just shoot it out to you guys on the mailing list. If you're not on the mailing list, sign up for that, because I'm hoping to do this. It's at StarWarsReport.com/mailing list, and I'm hoping to send that ebook out if it all works out. It's just as a nice little kind of Christmassy compilation of what's on the blog, and it'll all be in one place where you could read it. But yeah, a lot of really heartwarming and fun stories have already come in, and it kind of made me got me to thinking that, you know, for me, I have a pretty limited experience of Star Wars and Christmas, because Star Wars didn't enter my Christmases until, I want to say, probably late middle school, if not later, because I hadn't really seen the films until I was, 12 or so, 12 or 13. So I saw the films later than most, so it didn't really enter my Christmas radar, but I do have some interesting stories that I want to share with you guys tonight. And I think that would be a great theme for the episode. But before we do, I do want to thank our sponsor for this week's episode of the Star Wars Report. It's Big Bad Toy Store. Big Bad Toy Store is the place if you want holiday shopping for any kind of toys. That includes Star Wars. That includes, you know, G.I. Joe. It includes Transformers. It includes The Hobbit. Mark, I said it in the pre-show, but I was at the midnight screening last night. I wish this is not the Hobbit podcast, but hey guys, subscribe to Secrets of the Hobbit. My review will be on that probably in the next week or so. But okay, fourth, the Hobbit's right. But I digress. But yeah, like, whether it's Marvel, whether it's Cotobukiya, whether it's, you know, Diamond Select Toys, they have it all. Big Bad Toy Store. Here's what you want to do. You want to go to StarWarsReport.com/toys. And that is where it'll take you straight to the store. They've got all kinds of great holiday sales right now. And the week of Black Friday, man, they just had some great stuff. So, again, we thank them for sponsoring and continuing to sponsor the show. We really appreciate them supporting us and, you know, keeping this operation paying for itself. Because it's not free, and I wish it was. And it really defrays the cost thanks to sponsors like Big Bad Toy Store.
I just want to throw out there really fast, staying with the Big Bad Toy Store and what we were talking about holiday-wise, you know, we live in a time where it is still good to be a Star Wars fan. Yeah, you know, the EU, what's going to happen to that is still in flux, and what are these new films going to do with everything that came before is still in flux, but the reality here is there are more shopping opportunities for you. You can go out and get a lightsaber today. Okay, stop and think about this. Okay, back in, I want to say, 98, 99, I got it was either a Mantis or a Paladin. I think I got a Paladin lightsaber from another, it was like Steve's Toys. It was a magazine, something like that, that I managed to get on a subscription thing for. It cost me $225. And this lightsaber, it runs on a 9-volt battery, makes zero sounds. The blade does come out.
Oh, wow.
But it's not actually attached. I had to make it attached by drilling a hole through the blade, which was very risky at the time. But after I actually launched the blade across the yard in the middle of the night, and I almost, you know, cried as it hit the ground. I thought I broke it. You know, I was like, I need to lock this in. But now you can go out and get an FX-type lightsaber for less than $100. Those things make sounds. They have LED lights and light up from one end to the other, not light up all at once. The one I have, it's like the Indiglo Lodge. I mean, it comes on all at once, and it is bright, and it boop, but no sounds, no nothing. So, I mean, you know, you've got things like that. You've got the action figures out there, the Black Series. You've got figures, the Jaina Solo Kyobi or whatever you want to call it. The sexy girls is what they, I think they're calling it in English. But they got a Mara Jade now of that. There's all these cool Gentle Giant busts and stuff. You know, I mean, dude, the action figure end of things for the fandom. I mean, we are living in a time where there's a lot of stuff out there. And even if you can't find it, you can find it online. And that is why Big Bad Toys comes in handy, because if you're looking for something like Darth Malgus or, you know, a Jason or Jaina Solo or even a Kakruk, you know, all characters anybody out there want to send me, I would love it. But, you know, it's one of those things where at least you can find it. I mean, yeah. You know, back in the 90s.
You don't have to go to some shady, you know.
Yeah, you would go on eBay and you pray every day that, like, maybe somebody's selling it today, because, like, you could not find this stuff anywhere.
The eBay religion.
If it was
religion.
Out there, these people were holding on to it. It was part of their personal collection. And by George Lucas himself, I am never selling this. I mean, you know, it's easier now and it's more available. And as these movies come out, it's some people will say we're going to have an oversaturation. You know, it feels like a dry spell right now at my local toy store, but I know that they're out there online.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's really cool in that regard.
Well, and if you're wondering, the Force FX lightsabers are available at Big Bad Toy Store. Oh, but yeah, so we thank them for sponsoring this episode of the Star Wars Report. And think about when you're thinking about toy shopping this Christmas season. Think about Big Bad Toy Store. And speaking of the Christmas season, so I'll start here. And Mark, how much time do you have? Because I know you have a scout meeting, right?
Yeah, I should probably get out of here in the next 4 or 5 minutes.
Okay. Well, here's what I want to do then. Do you have a favorite Christmas miracle? It's a Christmas miracle. I'm going to go. What's the quote from It's a Wonderful Life? It's a Christmas miracle. It's a wonderful it's a wonderful life in Bedford Falls. Wait, my Jimmy Stewart. My brain's not fully functioning. My Jimmy Stewart impression is not quite there. It's a little similar to Bane.
Well, I think I know what you mean. It is a lot like Bane, ain't it? For me, there is one item that I did get for Christmas that stands out above the rest. And of all things, it's R2. My lucky big R2, the one that's voice automated. Hey, R2. And he, you know, whistles at you. And do you know? And he'll whistle at you. Unless he didn't hear you. And then you got to say it again. And then you've got a gauntlet of different catchphrases that he knows of. You know, like, hey, R2. Boop, boop. Do you know Princess Leia? And he'll go, ooh. Or you go, do you know Darth Vader? Woo! You know, it's like, I love it. You know, and he, right now his batteries are down. He's in the corner and I've got, you know, Whistler kind of just taking role of all
his
the
joints R4 are freezing up.
And R2 action over here. But the thing is he sits in the corner over here. I love him to death. He can hold on to soda cans. You can actually program him to move around and stuff. And when my kids were younger, which I should do this again. I've got pictures of Jaina riding on him. But what I need to do is get him operational again, because you can program him to do security. And that's what I used to do when my kids were younger, because they would get out of the bed and I couldn't keep them in the beds. So I was like,
he's
okay,
like
well,
the real
shoot,
life
out, and I don't know what's going on. So I would set R2 out in the hall and I'd put him on motion detect, like episode 2 with Princess Leia. And
he sits there, he goes, red light, exactly,
and
like Padme.
Back and forth. And any motion, he starts screaming. It worked great. It was the best anti-deterrent for my kids in the middle of the night. No more did I have to worry about them sneaking down the hall and going out in the living room and writing on the walls or who knows what while I'm asleep. You know, Whistler or R2, I mean, he was there for me when I needed him. So maybe I need to do that again. But yeah, hands down, that was still to this day one of my favorite absolute Star Wars related gifts. Aside from, you know, getting books and stuff like that, last year my son managed to get, he got the Sith Holocron. And I don't know if I shared that. It's a strange round the world tale. You know, I couldn't afford it when it came out. So I was able to get the Book of Sith, but I didn't get the big package that came with the actual holocron. It had a data crystal and a couple other things, a lightsaber crystal, the little amulet thing that, Savage Opress tracks down Darth Maul with is in it. But good friend William Devereaux, he managed to get one sent to him that was broken. And so when he contacted the place where he bought it, they said, you know, we're going to send you out another one. Keep the other one. And he just had it just sitting in the box. He's like, you know, I'm not using it if you want it, you know? And I'm like, really? So, you know, it's like, dude, you know, my son ain't going to care that it ain't working. He's going to be like, it's a holocron. So, you know, he sent it to me and I was looking at it when it came and I was like, hey, this wire here is not touching. And I just was wiggling the wire and I touched the thing and all of a sudden it starts working. I'm like, oh my gosh. And we got all ready to go, and, you know, I'm testing it out, and I'm like, okay, it's working, and we wrap it up and everything, and I'm thinking, you know, it's all good. My son opens it up. He's all excited, and it pushes the button. It works. It opens it, does its thing, and then he pushes the button to close it, and nothing. I'm like, oh, no. Aww. So me and my roommate, Joey, we were looking at it, and he's like, I got a soldering gun and solder. We can solder that. I'm like, really? And so we busted it out within 4 minutes, man. Choop. Soldered together, and the thing's been working perfect ever since. My son loves it. He lets me put the Book of Sith in it, but he's actually got a journal that fits in it perfect. That he's like, he's all, I get it back, Dad. It's my journal protector. I'm all, okay, you can put your journal below the Book of Sith if you want, which he's got it. That's like when I push the button, the Book of Sith slides out first because it's underneath his journal. But yeah, that's his really cool moment, was giving him that and managing to, you know, make it work when we didn't think it was gonna work. We're like, yeah, you know, just he'll just like having a little big triangle sitting there, and he'll play with it. And now it's actually all interactive, makes all the sounds and stuff, and he feels all like he's using the force and stuff. He waves his hand over
nice.
And stuff. It's cute.
That's awesome. I love that story. And you know what? I think Star Wars is it's cool that it's become such a Christmas tradition. But you know what's happening? Literally 2 years from now, today as we record this is the 13th. So we would be literally 4 days. We're 4 days out as we record this from 2 years. So we're 2 years out from a Christmas release of a Star Wars movie. And I, for one, absolutely cannot wait. I think it'll be awesome. So, Mark, I think you have to head out, don't you? Unfortunately.
I unfortunately do. I'm sorry, all you Bothans and Beyonders out there in the internet land fandom. It's been great. Merry Sithmas to all, and to all a force-filled night.
And thank you, Mark, as always. I'll tell you what, you came last minute. We planned this kind of hectically, and I'm so glad you're able. I'm going to do some listener feedback. We got a couple emails, and I'll feature those on the show and then wrap it up. But thanks for coming on this week and all the weeks you have, Mark.
Yeah. Take care, guys.
Take care now. You know what? One time I remember being at the local swimming pool at Bryan College in Dayton, Tennessee, growing up. It was the summer. I don't remember, some years ago. And a good friend of mine at the time walked up to me and said, he was humming. He was humming. And I was like, I recognize that. And this was long before I was nearly as much into Star Wars. So I know it was before, like, my Star Wars internet days. So I'm going to say pre-2011. Yeah. So as I... Let's see. I can't remember all the details exactly. But I do remember him doing this. And he was going... And he was humming the Cantina theme. Not the secondary one, which is what you guys are hearing right now. But he was actually humming the regular Cantina theme. You guys know it. There it is. And he just said, you know what? John Williams is the man. Little did I know that within the next few years, that would be a catchphrase as coined by the famous viral YouTube video, John Williams is the man. Oh, good times, good times. All right, so guys, we have some emails from you, but before we touch the emails, I think I want to touch one news story, because there have been a bunch. There's a story about a Star Wars television kind of miniseries type of deal with Netflix. That's Yahoo UK. We'll have time to talk about that a little bit more later. That's from, and also the wrap has a few more details. But I feel like this needs to happen. I feel like you guys need to hear this. And if you may have already heard this, and I'm sorry we weren't able to do this with Mark because he has not. Listen to this. Here we go.
Once again, it's the llama dropping mad science. Disney XD for your viewing appliance.
Okay. There are no words, folks. I don't understand this. Okay. If Mark were here, this would be the best game of guessing ever, because I didn't tell him what this was, and it would totally have been like, what the heck are you playing, Riley? But listen to this.
Bringing you the lineup for 2014. Animation jumping off like it's on a trampoline.
Okay. So this is a Steve the Llama drops Mad Science Disney XD official commercial. Dropping Mad Science.
I eat grass and say hey, Steve the Llama, right? Giving you the reel on Disney XD's animation situation.
So here's the deal. I'm going to jump to the minute. The video is only 1 minute long, and I was going to play it through with some commentary, but it's so bad. I can't. I just can't, folks. I apologize. But listen, here's the key point.
Star Wars Rebels coming on with much force. A ninth grade ninja who's...
Okay, that's all you know. So it's basically just a quick thing that essentially hints, based on the lineup of the video, that it's going to air on Saturday mornings. And the reason I wanted to report that is that this kind of goes back to a commercial that played in the movie theater, actually, in the pre-show before we watched The Hobbit last night as I record this. And it was... it was one of those things. What was the exact word? It was the Disney Parks commercial with the dad who pretends to be Darth Vader, and he's like, "Kids, I'm your father." And it's silly, it's funny, it's kind of cute, and then it goes, "Feel," you're just like, "Feel the Force at Disney's parks." And it's one of those things where it's just weird to see official Disney, official Disney sanctioned commercials for something like a Disney park, and they use a character like, Darth Vader in a Disney Parks commercial. I don't fully understand. I have to confess that I do not. But I'll tell you what, We're going to jump right into some of your feedback in just a moment. I got to pull up the old mailbox, the virtual mailbox for the Star Wars Report, and I will be right with you. All right, folks, the inbox is up. And, we got some emails. I want to start with the first one from John. He sends this in on December the 1st. He says, "Hey, Star Wars Report crew, now that Lucasfilm isn't independent anymore, does that mean Episode 7 could have opening credits? Would it matter to you? Personally, I wouldn't like it. Any delay in the action will be less than ideal, not to mention just feeling weird. Keep up the great work, John Santa." Thanks, John. I'll tell you what, it's an interesting concept. The opening credits, because this kind of goes back to, like, wait, will there be, like, a Disney, logo before the film? Or wait, will there there's probably not going to be a 20th Century Fox fanfare. I mean, what are we going to do? And that's true, because it's remarkable just how much these little details as fans stick with us as so important, because it sets the tone. And it's not, some people say, well, that's stupid. Star Wars is not defined by the opening fanfare. But I think on some level, something that fans have gotten so used to over the last, 35 years, it's something that's ingrained that sets a tone. And I think every effort that Disney can make to recapture that they can, within the realm of licensing and legality and all that, they should. As far as whether I think it will or won't, I have no idea. No one really does. I could go for it being different. And this kind of goes to a general philosophy on Star Wars Episode 7. I don't really mind if there are some differences. Having said all of that about Disney valuing the past, 35 years of Star Wars lore and how we're used to a Star Wars movie starting without anything, going straight in, I don't think we necessarily have to be too concerned about those things having to be there, because I don't think it does define Star Wars. As much as I think it'd be nice to, I'm certainly prepared for them not having opening credits. But I could certainly see both sides of the issue. But thanks for the email, John. I think it's a good thought. And on a personal preference, the adventurous side of me, the Took side, if I could jump into the Hobbit realm for a minute, wouldn't mind them experimenting a little bit, kind of like, the Clone Wars movie where they opened with the clones shouting. And then another part of me, likes the tradition. So there's your answer. It's kind of a non-answer, John, but it's your answer. Okay, all right, so let's jump back to the inbox. We also got an email from Zaid. I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly, from Zaid. He says, "I think that in F7 of Star Wars, we should include some more younglings and duels. Also, I think Luke in this episode should get married. Till as old as time." No, I hope they don't do that. Beauty and the Jedi. Good points. I don't think Luke should get married. I don't think Luke should be married. And I don't think that Luke should have offspring. And that's just my personal opinion. I haven't really talked about it a lot on the show. But I really, because I think, and I hope J.J. Abrams realizes this, and I think J.J. Abrams realizes this, that if they even are similar to the Star Wars Expanded Universe, there will be such a large part of the core fan community, especially the EU fans, that will be so much more tempted than they already are. And I'll put myself in there, than we already are, to compare them to the books. I mean, it'll be hard, as I've read a decent amount of the Expanded Universe, but nothing compared to a lot of people. But even I will have a hard time not comparing Star Wars to, Star Wars Episode 7, rather, to the Expanded Universe that came before, because I know who Mara Jade is, and I know who Jaina Solo is, and Jason, and I know that Jason fell to the dark side, and, I know the story, and so it'll be difficult. It's hard to say how difficult, but I think it will be difficult to make that adjustment when you sit down in the theater, because if you're any kind of in-depth Star Wars fan, that's more than just a cursory level, you do know a bit about the Expanded Universe and where the story you know, I guess expanded beyond George Lucas's vision. And so now that it's expanding beyond George Lucas's vision, only in the form of J.J. Abrams now, it's hard not to compare it to the expanded universe. And I can't really fault people who do. I mean, it'll probably cause grief and anger, but as we all must be prepared for. But I think that's fairly inevitable. All right, so that's that particular email. It's again from Zaid. We do appreciate your emails. That's number one. And number two, we will join you in just a moment to have a couple wrap-up, couple announcements, a couple wrap-up comments, and a little bit of commentary on the last bit of news, and then I will join you guys in just a moment. Okay, we got a news here from comingsoon.net, and this one would be the last comment that I made, and then give you guys a couple announcements. All right, so here it is. Here's the deal, folks. Star Wars Episode 7 script due in January. That's right, folks. It's happening. It's happening now. Hide your kids, hide your wives. No, I'm kidding. No, so okay, so this is straight from comingsoon.net. While speaking this morning at the Variety Dealmaker Breakfast, Walt Disney Studios Chairman Alan Horn revealed that while work isn't yet complete on the script, so we do know that it's not complete, the studio does expect J.J. Abrams and Lawrence Kasdan to have it ready in January, and then a fifth Indiana Jones film, meanwhile, is still a little bit further off. Quote, "We need a story," said Horn, regarding the action-adventure franchise. And he also went on to say a little bit about the budget. He said that it hasn't fully been decided, but it's in the ballpark of $200 million. So that's a pretty solid budget. It's like the Avengers budget was like way above that. But then again, Avengers is kind of tried and true. And like it or not, we're in a phase where Star Wars is a little bit experimental. It's been so long since one's been out of theaters. You know, the movie industry's changed so much. I mean, Disney needs to play. I don't need to blow $500 million on, you know, the budget and marketing budget, you know, just in case. I mean, even as a Star Wars fan, we can't possibly address the likelihood that Episode 7 couldn't be a box office success. In fact, I don't know how many times I've heard, if you know, different folks from fan sites and the fan community say how Star Wars is, you know, a shoe-in for the box office. It's going to easily make as much as the Avengers. And I think, you know, as a longtime fan, you do yourself a disservice if you don't think about the larger nature of pop culture and where Star Wars fits in. Because while it's deep-rooted within pop culture, it's not on the public's mind like it used to be. And, you know, we don't know for sure if that trends, you know, if it translates directly into, you know, the mainstream adult public purchasing those movie tickets. So I think it's smart that it looks like their budget may not be too steep. But yeah, so basically, I mean, and he also, we already knew this, but he also did reaffirm that they're doing a film every year. They're doing the spinoff films in the off years and the flagship films. And he didn't really mention anything beyond 2015, but I mean, at least, I mean, well, 2018 rather, or 19, I guess, whenever Episode 9 would come out. But he didn't mention anything past it. So, you know, maybe we'll be seeing Star Wars Episode 20. In the year 2030. Who knows? You guys, and we'll be here podcasting about it, by George. Oh, my goodness. That was a fun episode. I'm so glad that you guys were able to join us. That does it for this particular episode of the Star Wars Report podcast. This has been episode 115. 115 strong. And if you didn't listen to last week's episode, last week was David Collins. David joined me for over an hour. He was so awesome. And I guess it was more than a week ago as I record this, because we had to take last week off. That was finals week for me. But David, he was so cool and had so many great insights into Lucasfilm and LucasArts and score. And I'm a music nut. And he scored and helped score and worked soundstage and worked with folks like Jesse Harlan and Mark Griske producing the Force Unleashed soundtrack, the Knights of the Old Republic soundtrack, the Republic Commando soundtrack, all these things that I love so much about Star Wars and Star Wars video gaming, and he had so many great stories to talk about. So if you didn't listen to that episode, definitely head back and listen to it. I mean, it's a lot of fun. And hey, also, if you want to email us like Zaid did and like John did, shoot us an email, starwarsreport@gmail.com. We always love to hear from you. And if you enjoyed this episode, got anything out of it, whether it's the speculation, to make you mad, happy, sad, indifferent, well, let us know. Leave us some feedback at iTunes. You can go to starwarsreport.com/iTunes and leave us a rating and or review. Those are always much appreciated. Once again, I want to thank our sponsor for this episode, Big Bad Toy Store. Head over to starwarsreport.com/toys for great holiday sales and great holiday choice for your Star Wars fans that are in your life. Again, that's starwarsreport.com/toys. Look us up on Facebook. Mark's posting those awesome pictures of him in the snow. I'm so jealous. Why can't it snow here? Curse you, Georgia. Also, so like us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/StarWarsReport. Twitter.com, just past 6,000 strong. You guys are awesome. That's so cool. So join the 6,000 strong Star Wars fan, the legion of Star Wars fans following us on Twitter. It's at Star Wars Report. If you're interested in shenanigans I'm up to personally, including things like live tweeting the Hobbit Midnight premiere, which I did. Guys, I'm dead. It's the next day, man. It was fun, but I'm not sure I'd do it again. We'll see. But I've done some work with Middle Earth Network, and I'll be posting up like Lord of the Rings related stuff, you know, odd stuff, oddball stuff like that. Follow me personally on Twitter. It's @TheRileyGuy on Twitter, and you can see what I'm up to as well. And it's usually not so much Star Wars, but more just kind of what's going on in me world. There you go. That does it for this episode of the Star Wars Report. We do thank you for listening, and I hope you have had a Merry Christmas. I do hope to be with you guys next week, but it depends on Christmas schedule and family schedule. But if not, we'll definitely see you after the new year. So we might be back next week, but we'll be off after that until the new year. So without further ado, this has been the Star Wars Report podcast, episode 115. Remember, many Bothans died to bring you this podcast. Don't you stop,